We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
He just gets better and better. Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk joins us. And, man, this has been, especially down here, Mike, a crazy week. Yesterday, another crazy day. The Dolphins getting a new center and a new guard. Is this going on everywhere, or is it just the Dolphins?
No, I think every team uses this opportunity to take a closer look at where they are, where they want to be, the changes they need to make, understanding that the draft is still looming. You don't want to go too crazy in free agency, but I think the Dolphins have used the combination of signing new players, trading for players, trading players away, cutting players as a way to reshape the roster the way that Adam Gase envisions it. And my theory is this, and I don't know if this is accurate or not. It could be entirely wrong, which would make it consistent with most of my other opinions. But I think that Adam Gase saw last year through the adversity that the team experienced almost every week. You see who's in it for the team and who's in it for themselves. And I think he wants to get rid of the guys who are in it for themselves and not for the team. And I think that's why Pouncey, Landry, Sue are gone. And the hope is some of these other guys they're bringing in will have the overall makeup necessary to put together a 53-man unit that will be good enough and better than the sum of the parts and able to go out and win games and endure the adversity that is inevitable in any football season. Different teams have different degrees of it, but there's no team that gets past a full season without some degree of adversity.
Mike, do you think that there's a, I don't want to say power struggle, but like something on top here in the Miami Dolphins and Davey at the facility? Because I just don't feel like everyone's on the same page at this point.
I haven't gotten that feeling at all. And this is an organization that went through years of dysfunction. Maybe the dysfunction in the past was so bad that
it just feels like it.
It's you're just used to it. Like, yeah. A moderate amount of it seems like nothing because you're used to the three-way fight that was always going on between Joe Philbin, yeah, Jeff Ireland, and Don Aponte.
Not even close. No, right.
I think that this is Adam Gase. Look, here's what happens. Year one, you make it to the playoffs. It's kind of hard to justify making major changes after a year that results in the playoffs. Year two, no playoffs, a lot of adversity, unfulfilled expectations. It's your opening. A lot of this is going on in Seattle. This was the opening in Seattle this year for Pete Carroll to make major changes to the coaching staff, major changes to the roster, because they went five straight years of making it at least to the divisional round. So you don't have the occasion to say, all right, look, we failed. Here's why we failed. Here's how our people acted while we were failing. These are the guys who need to go. These are the guys who need to stay. These are the guys we need to get.
Hey, Mike, I want to ask you about pro days, especially for these four quarterbacks, these top quarterbacks we've been talking about every week coming out for the draft. What do you expect when they have a pro day at home with their receivers, perfect conditions, nobody covering anybody? Like, everybody's going to look good, right? All four of these quarterbacks are going to look real good.
Well, think of it this way. It's not just playing pitch and catch in the backyard with your friends. It's doing it after you've rehearsed it and practiced it and repeated it and repeated it. I mean, this is an orchestrated game of catch with no defense, no rush, no pressure other than the scrutiny that comes from doing it in the right public eye. But this is a useless exercise. The private workouts are far more valuable. We never talk about them because we don't have access to them.
Correct.
But that's how the teams find out which guys they really like. I remember when Teddy Bridgewater had the horrible pro day workout 4 years ago, the Vikings did a private workout and they fell in love with him. So the private workouts mean a heck of a lot more, but it's another date on the calendar to check. It's another set of B-roll, industry term, to put on TV while you're talking about Baker Mayfield or Josh Rosen, right, or this guy or that guy. And, you know, that's what it is. It's not by any means definitive, and I don't think it's all that useful.
All right, let's talk about Baker Mayfield, because there's another story coming out that a private investigator working for one of the teams might be doing a little background work and kind of following to see to make sure he doesn't have any Johnny Manziel in him. I mean, it could be more to it. What do you think of that? You got a problem with that?
I think that that is part of the process, right? You investigate these guys as best you can to find out who they really are. They're not going to come in and declare to you who they really are. Remember Manziel 4 years ago? He had everybody duped. Everybody. All about football. Johnny Football. Only football. Football. Hey, can we get him on the radio show? No, he's focused on his playbook. What playbook? He doesn't have a team yet. Either way, it's all about football. It was so bad that when he took a day to go to Oregon to go to the Nike factory, it was a big deal. Oh, Johnny Football's taking a day off of football. And then he gets drafted by the Browns, and it's money sign, and it's money phone, and it's all sorts of other things. And so how do you find out who the real guy is? And I think the most important aspect of it is the research that these scouts do on campus, not just talking to the coaches, but talking to the people that the players interact with that they have no reason to put up a facade for. Yeah. You know, the stories like going to the convenience store in the neighborhood where the player lived and talking to the clerks. Hey, did he come in here? What kind of a guy was he? What did he do? You know, what? How did he act? Was he respectful? Was he disrespectful? And there's ways to get to the truth without sitting a guy down and saying, tell me about yourself. So I don't have any problem with a team doing anything that is legal. I don't have any problem with that in order to find out exactly who they are considering making that investment in.
All right, back here to Davey and the Dolphins for a second. And Ndamukong Suh, Mike Pouncey, there's going to be a market for both these guys?
Well, you know, I've heard nothing about Pouncey so far. I've heard plenty about Sue, although I don't know if Sue's going to get what he's looking for. I don't know what he's looking for. I've seen conflicting reports on whether he wants to max out his earnings or whether he wants to win a Super Bowl. It's only the Saints and Titans at this point. There's been talk of the Cowboys, Vikings, Seahawks. None of them, I'm told, are interested. So I don't know what happens with Sue. And I think Sue, you know, Sue may be the epitome of the guy that Gase just got exhausted holding his hand and coaxing him to buy in, right? And you just get to a point where it's not worth it anymore. We got to pay him $17 million. It's not worth it. It's too much trouble. We're not getting the return. And I don't want to spend the rest of the year tiptoeing around a temperamental star who really doesn't add as much to the bottom line of winning as he should. So I don't know what's going to happen with Sue, but it was the Raiders, Dolphins, and Lions 3 years ago. This year, it's the Saints and Titans. And, you know, when you have two teams in play, you can get a pretty good contract, but we'll see what he wants and we'll see what he gets. Between the two, you know, they both made it to the divisional round. I'd say the arrow in the short term is pointing up a little bit more with the Saints because they still have Drew Brees. Long term, maybe it's the Titans, but we'll see what Sue is looking for and whether he wants to make money or whether he wants to win.
Right. Well, everybody thinks he's just about the, you know, he's always about talking about business and loves that money. And as long as
and there's nothing wrong with it. Look, here's the thing. When you sign a contract for the highest possible number, you know you're getting it. When you pick a team based upon winning, you don't know what you're going to get. You may get losing, right?
Right.
Kirk Cousins, he took less money, not that much, but he took less money to go to the Vikings because he wants to win. Okay, are you going to win? I don't know, but you know what the money is. Yeah. So, and also, limited number of years to earn, long-term physical and mental consequences. Earn every penny you can get while you can get it. The fans don't like that sometimes because it disrupts the ability to hold a team together. But the players, if we have any compassion for these guys and understanding of what they have to do over the course of their lives and how long that money has to last, I think we'd say get everything you can.
All right, I got to ask you about the two hot topics that are going to start to heat up here again. I think you know where I'm going already. Eric Reed, safety with the 49ers, and his sidekick Colin Kaepernick. Does Colin Kaepernick end up on a team this year in year two?
No. The only way, here's how he ends up on a team. If it's part of a settlement of his collusion grievance. Mark Garagus' lawyer suggested at one point during the season 2017 that if someone would offer him a job, they would drop the case. I think the only way they're going to offer him a job now to drop the case would be if they are on the ropes in the case. And I think if that happens, Garagus is just going to punch him through and not give him a way out. You know, and I've seen this play out before. When you're dealing with corporate bodies who are stubborn to the point of arrogant and delusional over the quality of the case they're facing, when they finally have their epiphany, it's too late. they have their epiphany because they realize this is going to go very, very, very badly. And once the NFL comes to that conclusion, if that happens, I'm not predicting it will, but that's what it would take to get them to say, uncle. And by the time they say uncle, what Garagus is going to say will consist of words that, you know, we can't say.
What about his sidekick, his kneeling buddy, Eric Reed? What happens there?
Well, here's the thing. Reed plays a position that no one has really signed a contract out of yet in free agency this year.
That's right.
And safety's I think Eric Reed's best play is to lay low and not challenge. We see what happens when you challenge the NFL and
you
call out the NFL. Yeah. No, you don't win. And here's the other thing, too. He's close enough to Kaepernick that he would be the guy most likely to be blackballed. You know, the argument people made last year that in response to the notion that Kaepernick was being shunned by the NFL is that, well, look at all these other guys protesting. They still have jobs. Yeah, but Kaepernick was the first. He's the guy that made the robot self-aware. That's why he is more distasteful to ownership than other guys would be. And Reed is close enough to Kaepernick that maybe he falls within that same bubble. And also, if you play at a high enough level, it doesn't matter. But if there's a sliding scale and you're starting to get back toward the pack and your skills don't really stand out and there are guys who are roughly the same amount of money, but they don't bring that baggage, that's where teams are going to go. It's that simple. And, you know, we can debate the underlying issues, red yeah. state, blue state,
right.
stand, kneel, exercise your rights, disrespect the flag, whatever it is. Wherever you come down on that, that doesn't matter. The reality is we know by now that for the NFL, this is a factor. Steve Bisciotti made that clear last year with Colin Kaepernick. The NFL has essentially acknowledged it's a factor, even though they don't want to. And so it's a factor, and I think Reed knows it. I just don't think it helps him to talk about it. I think his best move is lay low and hope somebody realizes we'd rather have the player and we don't care about these other issues.
I just wonder what the end result's going to be with Colin Kaepernick, because I don't think it's going away. That's the difference.
Well, here, let me tell you this. There are so many people who assume that he has no case, because I think they view collusion as 32 owners sitting around a giant conference table with big cigars and whiskey, and, you know, we're going to come up with this secret deal tonight. Well, here's our list of secret deals we're going to come up with. We don't want Colin Kaepernick. Item one. That's not how it works. I think that the collusion in this case happened via the league office telling the various teams Colin Kaepernick is bad for business. So the league office, as directed by a small handful of powerful owners, lets all the teams know the way it's going to be. That's the structure of the collusion. Now, I don't know. Does that count as collusion? I think it does. The NFL may fight that and say, well, that's not really collusion. I think it is, though. When the league office is setting policy for 32 different companies, I mean, at the core, we've got 32 different competitors, supposed competitors. If there is coordination among those 32 competitors, that's collusion. You know, we hear this word collusion now, especially in the political sense. It's like, well, what does it mean? It sounds bad. There's nothing bad about it. It's just a fact that entities that otherwise should be operating at arm's length are working together in teamwork. And that's what the NFL arguably did through the league office communicating. And that what these text messages and emails that Kaepernick has obtained through this grievance process, does it show? And I would tend to guess that it does, the league office saying things like, he's bad for business. Those are the kinds of things that will prove collusion.
Wow. It's going to be interesting to see. Boy,
yes,
I tell you
will.
What, Mike, this league does not sleep. We still got second tier of free agents, still a bunch of them out there. So it'll be fun to watch. Hey, thanks for coming on, Mike, as always.
Thanks,
guys,
Mike.
Have a great weekend.
You too. Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.